As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Front End Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a Wednesday afternoon, just about 8 days away from the NHL draft in Montreal. We need to talk draft today. We need to talk Blue Jackets today. It's been too long. Appreciate you sticking with us. Had a little bit of a break here, kind of some quiet days for the Blue Jackets. But we're back with a splash here. We've got Dave Metzold from Bally's Sports. Dave, say hello to the fine folks.
Hello to the fine folks. It's always good to be talking hockey as we are on the cusp of July.
Exactly. And Jeff Svoboda, also known as CBJ Insider for the Blue Jackets website. Bodes, how are you?
I am doing well. It's good to hear all of your voices again. This feels like the middle of the season, just getting everybody together and chatting like we usually do during the year. So yeah, great to be here.
Yeah.
Does that mean there's a road trip coming up, Biscuit? Does that mean we're getting ready to go on the road somewhere? Let's go.
If only. Well, I'm headed to Montreal for the draft. Unfortunately, I don't think you'll be joining us, Dave.
No, I'll be watching from home.
Yeah, you set yourself up for me to have to bring that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Metzi, I'll bring you some bagels back from Montreal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And some smoked meat.
So we'll get to the draft. We'll be heavy draft here, but let's first brushstroke the Stanley Cup final, if we could, because though that was the Colorado Avalanche beating the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2, incredible series, an incredibly high level of play. But if you're a Blue Jackets fan, certainly of a certain age, I think you watched that and probably, I won't speak for you, but I know a lot of people that I'm familiar with found a lot of joy in the fact that so many members of the Avalanche had a connection to this Blue Jackets organization, a prominent connection as well. Chris McFarland, the assistant general manager for the Colorado Avalanche, great to see him hoisting the cup, standing next to Joe Sakic, the GM of the Avs. Those two are responsible for building this great Avs team. C-Mac's going to be an NHL general manager at some point soon. But for him to win a cup was great. We also see Jared Bednar, who, of course, coached the Blue Jackets AHL team in Cleveland, the Monsters to the Calder Cup in 2016, his assistant coach, Nolan Pratt. And, of course, Jack Johnson, who's been through some stuff and came out on the other end and wins the Stanley Cup. You know what? Everybody enjoys lifting the cup over their heads. Some guys are more emphatic and emotional about it than others. I think Jack was about as thrilled, appeared to be as emotionally overwhelmed as anybody lifting that. And Metzl, that there's got to be good reason behind that Jack Johnson winning the cup.
Well, 100%. He's 35 years old. Who knows how much longer he's going to get opportunities like he had this year. He went to Pittsburgh, didn't really work out for him there, and kind of found new life at this late stage of his career in Colorado. And as we were talking before we really got things rolling here, you know, all of the garbage he went through with his parents and,
right,
you know, needing, just absolutely needing to sign contracts just to take care of all his stuff on the business end. And he got that done. And then to have the relief to be able to get his name on that cup, put it over his head. I saw all that emotion pouring out. And maybe I was just assigning all that emotion to him as I was watching it. But golly, I was really happy for the guy who's had a tough trail, man, for sure.
Yeah, it was so cool. And Ryan Murray's on the ice, too. And Bodes didn't play a playoff game. Ryan Murray didn't. So I don't think his name goes on the cup. I think he gets a ring because he's been with them all year. But a cool moment to see Ryan Murray, who himself, number two overall draft pick by the Blue Jackets, tons and tons of injuries, a really solid player when he did play, played a lot more playoff games with the Blue Jackets than I remembered when I looked at his stats just a day or so ago. Cool to see him get something. I know he wants to keep playing and win one on the ice with the team, but a neat moment for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you look back, you know, I think you've kind of forgotten a little bit, but I was just writing about Murr for the looking back. It was 10 years ago. It was the 2012 draft where he gets chosen. And that's kind of star-crossed top four where, you know, the number one overall pick was Nail Yakupov and did not have the success many people thought he would have. And it's maybe been a little bit the same for Murr, but it's been injury-based for him. But looking back at that 2018-19 season he had with the Blue Jackets, he was fantastic. Yeah. It was a key part of that playing with Seth Jones, I believe, and even Zach Werenski at times. But, you know, he was the first pair defenseman for that team for a lot of the season. And ended up playing some really big minutes and a key part on what's to this point the most successful Blue Jackets team of all time with that playoff series win. And unfortunately, much like his career arc, though, he ended up not being on the ice for that playoff run because of, of injuries with the back injury. So for all the things he's been through, and I can only imagine how frustrating it's been for him to get a chance to lift the Stanley Cup, and he's going to get a ring. And maybe he ends up, I think he finished just short as far as games played. To be automatically on the cup. I think teams get a little bit of dispensation. Okay. They can add a guy or two. So maybe he ends up on there. But at the end of the day, an incredible experience he'll be able to cherish the rest of his lifetime.
And you know what I remember of that 2012 draft is that's the year that the Islanders offered every draft pick to Columbus for the number two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a great offer. I almost wish they had said yes to it just because – you could really have some interesting stuff to talk about. But what a memorable draft. Yakupov first, Murray second. One more thing we get to before the draft. This is a guy I think we all know and love, and many people listening to us will as well. The original voice of the Blue Jackets, George Matthews, will go into the PEI Hall of Fame. And if anybody is a Hall of Famer, it's got to be George Matthews. Yeah, Metzi?
You got that right there, big fella. I mean, is that the way he addressed everybody? Hey, big fella, what's going on?
Yes.
And not in that, I'm not sure I know your name. That was his term of endearment for people. So,
yes.
Yeah, so happy for George because you think about hockey in Columbus, NHL hockey in Columbus, and a lot of people learned the game listening to George, right?
That's right.
Learned the game, learned about the game, learned the intricacies of the game, and all the credit in the world to George Matthews for what he did to lay that foundation, and super happy for a guy who couldn't be any nicer. He's just the nicest guy in the world.
He is. And Buzz, you're kind of an old soul too when it comes to sports. There's something about the great play-by-play guys, and Matthews had this where it's not the words, it's not only the words you use, it's the voice inflection that tells you how important a moment is. And once you got used to George's call, you could tell where the puck was by the volume of his voice. He's still doing play-by-play, by the way, up in PEI for their team in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. But I asked George, and maybe you'll think about this, but who the hell's going to MC this event in Prince Edward Island if the MC for everything in Prince Edward Island is being inducted into the Hall of Fame? Who hosts that?
Yeah.
It's got to be Doug McClain, right?
That is a great question. But I mean, you can't say enough great things about George Matthews. And you're right. It wasn't a traditional broadcast in some ways. You may have not necessarily known where the puck was when George was calling it. But you were right. Based off of the way he was saying it, what was going on, You could tell what was happening, and I love that. Play by play is sure you want to be good at it, you want to be descriptive and all that stuff, but it's so much more a feel than a science, I think. And George was great at that. And my quick George Matthews story is back in 2004. I was doing student radio at Ohio State, and I was calling hockey games on our student radio station. And this was the lockout year, the 2004-2005 season. So we come to the season opener, and George Matthews is in the press box because, frankly, has nothing else to do at this time, unfortunately, at that moment.
Love it.
And so we're about to go on the air. I'm in my booth. I'm playing a little – Ohio State had won the CCHA championship the year before, so I had a little montage that I'd whipped up on a CD that I was playing on the air. It really dating myself here with these details. But suddenly I look up and George Matthews is standing right next to me. And he's like, "What you doing there, big fella?"
Big fella.
I kind of explained to him, I'm a student radio broadcaster for the team. I'm going to Ohio State, but I want to get a career in the sports world somewhere along the line. And we kind of start talking, and George just keeps talking and talking and talking. And finally I look at him, I looked out the CD. I'm like, "George, I'm going to be live in 10 seconds. Like, you got to go."
Right.
And this is, I had never met the guy at this point, but that was just George Matthews. Just he would talk to anybody and wanted to hear about you and could not be a nicer guy. So I'm very happy for that accomplishment for him, because he certainly deserves it.
Yeah, I was talking to George the other day, and I love this too. The Hall of Fame gave him three dates. What is best for this induction ceremony? So George starts to poke around with his cronies there in PEI and realizes – Jim Clark's going to be at the draft for Ottawa in that weekend in July. That same weekend in July, Doug McLean's going to be at a book signing in the States. He starts to think to himself, you know what? I don't want those guys at the Hall of Fame induction, because it's not going to be an induction ceremony. It's going to turn into a roast. And so that's the week that he's going into the Hall of Fame, and there's not a damn thing those guys can do about it. They can't pot shot him from afar. It's great. I'm happy for him, because he's such a class guy and really, really beloved by so many Blue Jackets fans that had an opportunity to follow the team while he was doing the play-by-play. So that's a shame we're going to be in Montreal at that time. We could shoot on over to PEI and maybe take part, but not going to happen. But congratulations to George. Let's get to that draft, because I think people judge this draft. Is it as good as next year's? Is it better than last year's? Yada. I think this is a fantastic, interesting draft myself. I love that we're not really sure who's going to be number one. For years, we thought it was going to be Shane Wright. Now there's Yuri Slafkovsky, who I don't think anybody had heard of before January, certainly if you're not an amateur scout. There are a lot of people who think he's more likely than Wright to go number one. Does Wright go two automatically, or do the Devils trade that pick? Where does Logan Cooley come in? There are two great young defensemen, David Yerichek and Simone Nemitz. I mean, they could both go in the top five. Maybe one of them's there for the Blue Jackets at six. But if not, where do they go? So all of these names are kicking around, and I thought we would have a little bit of fun with it and go player by player. Now, this is some guessing, of course, which of these guys may end up with Columbus. But let's pause and ponder two questions first before we get into guessing which player goes where. The Blue Jackets have the number 6 and they have the number 12, very similar to last year when they had 5 and 12. I think conventional wisdom has them taking a forward and a defenseman. But I also think Jarmo Kekalainen, at least he says he is in best player available mode at all times at this point in the draft. So, Metsi, let's start with you. Just your thoughts. Is it imperative that the Blue Jackets spend one of these picks on a defenseman when you look at this organizational depth chart, or are you strictly in best available player at this point in the draft?
Well, the beauty of it is, Porty, if you phrase it that way, the best available player could be either a forward or a defenseman, right? So I think that's the best of both worlds. I would love to see him get Yurchik, only because I don't think Nemitz is going to be there. I think he's going to go maybe top 3 or 4. He might not, but, I could see them being very happy there. A lot of the mock drafts think Gauthier is going to be the guy. I like that pick as well. I look at his numbers and what he did for the U.S. national team. That's a fine pick for me if he's available at 6, and he probably will be. I wonder if Logan Cooley is going to stay in that top 3 or if he's going to be available at six. You just don't know, right? It's going to be heavily based on teams' needs and how that player, that particular player, fits. So I think that the question is a valid one, but I think it's answered in a valuable way for the Blue Jackets either way, whether that best available player at that time is a D or a forward. I could be happy with either selection by Yarmo and the boys.
Yeah. Now, Buzz, they've not taken a defenseman. I think the only defenseman they've taken since Werenski in the first two rounds is Andrew Peak. So we're talking a six-year span there.
Or Corson Kuhlman's last year.
I was just going to say, Corson Kuhlman's last year.
Yeah.
Does Corson Kuhlman's, his arrival or his addition to the organization, does that change your thoughts as to what they can do with 6 and 12? It makes sense to grab a blue liner. They also like this Kanazko. They like some of the other guys, Christensen, some of the other young defensemen in their system. You want to be balanced, of course, but how important is that, Boats?
I move the opinion that it's not terribly important. I think you just have to take the best player available, and maybe you do. I think Yarmo has kind of said that he feels maybe they don't double up on a position, but at the end of the day, like say you're just so far, you know, this isn't the NFL draft where these guys are going to come in and play next year. They could come in and play next year, but by and large, you're forecasting four or five years down the road to when these guys are going to be, you know, really key parts of what you're trying to do. And so you've said all the time, you don't know what your needs are going to be at that point. I think you just have to go best player available, unless it's a tiebreaker at 12 where, you know, you like a forward and a defenseman about the same, and you already drafted a forward. Why not take a defenseman? But if there's a player you really feel strongly about at 12 that even if it's the same position as somebody who took at six, I think you still take that player. That's the way I look at it. But everybody has different opinions on it, but I look at it from the perspective of if you really do like someone at 12 and you draft a center at six and you got another center you really like at 12, why not take him? You can never have enough centers. Or same with wings. And I think the defensive depth chart is there's a lot of good young players there to where they don't have to take a defenseman if they don't want to. Or heck, maybe they take two defensemen. Who knows how it's all going to go? But I'm of the opinion to take the best player available and you sort it out down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So let's get rolling here. So we talked about this just a little bit a second ago, that there's a potential this weekend next weekend for so much to go down. It feels like there's so many teams that want to be active and aggressive. And there's so many teams, even in the top reaches of this draft, that have talked about moving that pick for immediate help. So there could be a lot of stuff going down on Thursday night. I'm not sure Montreal trades out of that pick. The host team, you know, picking number one overall is kind of a dream scenario. But it sure sounds like they are troubled by who to take. And the once unthinkable that Shane Wright might be there at number two may seem possible. So let's start with Shane Wright. With regards to the Blue Jackets, what do you think is the percentage chance that Shane Wright ends up being selected by the Blue Jackets? And let's go Metzold first, then Svoboda and me, and we'll kind of rotate with each player just to keep it balanced. Metzi, percentage chance that Shane Wright becomes a Columbus Blue Jacket on July 7th?
I'd say 5%. I just don't see him dropping six spots with the numbers that he put up and the status that he's got. He's just, I just don't see it. So yeah. I would say 5%.
Yeah. Boats.
I mean, I'm going lower than that. I'm going zero. And I'm operating under the assumption when I made these percentages that the Blue Jackets will not make a trade up to select a player. And that's just my gut feeling. And so with that being the case, there's no way to me Shane Wright gets to six. And if they're not going to trade up, then I think there's a 0% chance they end up with Shane Wright.
Yeah. Now that's interesting. Because I think it's 10%, which may seem a little crazy, but here's the thought process. There are a lot of people who think Montreal is going Slakovsky. And in that case, Shane Wright's available too. The Devils have talked openly about trading that pick, and they have drafted three centers in the last four drafts. And they are pretty well with Hischier, with Hughes, with Dawson Mercer. I don't know that any of them are Shane Wright, maybe Hughes is. But there's a chance that you could get to the number two spot if Jersey ends up with Wright in their lap there. I think that's the play to get Shane Wright. Really, really unlikely, but I don't think it's completely out of the question. That would be intriguing.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and it makes a lot of sense if you're New Jersey to maybe see what you can get out there. And if a team really wants to move up and make that pick, I don't personally see it being the Jackets if it gets to that point. But I mean, that's just my gut feeling. I could be very wrong. And maybe you get to the draft night and that fork, I kind of, you know, it happens and you look there and you see that ability to move up and Shane Wright's sitting there and you think, you know, maybe it's worth that shot. A lot has to happen to get to that point, but maybe if you do get to that point, you do go ahead and make that decision. But I just, in my opinion, my sense is, and I'm basing this off of nothing other than just my gut, is that that's just not the direction they end up going. But it's pretty intriguing if you think about it though, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. Bodes, you're up next. Starting with you for Slafkovský now, the great Slovakian player, big dude, has been compared to Rick Nash. It's a pretty good comparison.
Yeah. Well, you can make the same argument with Slafkovský if Wright gets picked number one and you still, maybe you want to, if you like that guy that much, maybe you move up and make that trade and try to acquire him because a big talented winger who can score, boy, that sounds like something the Blue Jackets could use. But I'm still kind of I'm at 0% with him. He's not going to drop to six. And I just don't see a trade happening. And again, I'm kind of making it less fun by throwing that caveat in there, but
my guess is
he's just not going to be there at six, which is unfortunate because I'd love to see him in a Blue Jackets uniform.
Yeah. And I don't think Slafkovský is a guy you trade major pieces to get up to. I may burn this tape in 5 years when he scores a 68th goal in March. But I think you make that move for a centerman. I'm not sure you do it for a winger. That's just my thinking today. I'm putting 0% on that. I think if Wright goes first, if Slafkovský goes second, I don't think the Blue Jackets make a play to get up there. And so that's where I'm at. Metsy on Slafkovský?
Yep. I had him at 1% only because I think he may well go number one. Really made a name for himself in the Olympics and has that great size that you talk about. And I think he's kind of the hot pick right now, to be honest with you, even though Wright's numbers just jump off the page at you. I think at the end of the night, we're going to be sitting there with the big Slovak at number one.
Yeah. All right. I get to go first here. Logan Cooley. I think this is a really interesting spot because Arizona is perpetually rebuilding. Tell me they wouldn't be interested in a 6 and a 12. The only problem with that theory is they've got about 9 picks in the top 45 this year. Like, they are loaded with picks.
Right.
So I'm not sure that moves the needle. But if the Blue Jackets could get to 3 and get Cooley, to me that is a centerman, difference maker, instant offense type guy. You put him with Sillinger as your 1-2. Maybe Roslovic holds the fort for a year or so until those guys are ready to take over. Cooley's a fascinating guy in the sense too that he doesn't get talked about a lot because it's either Wright or Slafkovský up at the top. But I don't think anybody doubts that it's going to be Cooley at 3, that he's not getting past 3. So you wonder what the price would be for the Blue Jackets to get up to 3 if they want to do that for Cooley. But I'm going to put him at 25%. Because I think that's a cheaper spot to move to. I think Arizona wants to be creative. I think the Blue Jackets want to be creative. I'm just not sure they can find a match. So what did I say, 20% or 25%?
You said 25. I've got them at 20. I'm just going to jump in. I have them at 20.
I'm going 25. Yeah,
a lot of the same reasons. He's just a really attractive player numbers-wise.
Yeah.
The only thing, I wonder if they don't already have Logan Cooley on the roster and Kent Johnson. You know, They're about the same size, same position, numbers are great, all that kind of thing. But you talk about filling needs up the center of the ice. This guy could do it, maybe not right away. Maybe let him go play for Minnesota for a year, and then he's there and he's a little bit bigger in 2 years. But I got that at 20% because I like the opportunity to move up there.
Yeah, both.
And I get to be the contrarian, and I'm sticking with zero on him. I think the top three guys that are going to get picked are going to be Wright, Slavkovsky, and Cooley. And I just don't, and with the Blue Jackets at six, that means that they're not going to end up with those guys. And the trade possibility is the thing that gets them, would make them higher. But as of right now, I just don't see it happening. I'm sticking with zero on those three guys because I think they're off the board at that point.
You're putting all your chips on like three guys, Bodes. I can feel it.
I am. Yeah. You guys are spinning it out a little bit. I'm sticking with like a small handful here.
Yes. This is called diversifying your portfolio is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't all have the same opinion of this.
Of course. What fun would that
be? Boring.
Yeah. Now after Cooley goes, I think the draft's already super interesting, but this is where it just gets wide open with all sorts of, is it crazy to think that Kemmel could end up in there, that Casper, some of these guys who are typically thought of at the lower end of the top 10, I don't think it's out of the question that they could surprise you. But now we get into the defensemen, and we'll go with the Simone Nemitz first. And Dave, you get the first crack at this. This is an offensive right shot, top pairing defenseman out of Slovakia, countryman of Slavkovsky.
Very highly rated. He could go in the top three picks. He could go in the top two picks if Montreal or the Devils are looking for a defenseman. You talk about how many great young forwards the Devils already have. Why wouldn't they take a shot at getting a great young defenseman who's, you know, one of those guys who could be a difference maker? We just saw Cole Makar. I'm not comparing or Kale Makar. We just saw what he did in the final. You know what a difference maker a great young defenseman can be. And of the two, he's rated slightly higher than Juracek. So, you know, I think there's a 1% chance the Jackets will have a shot at him, only because I think he's going to go perhaps in one of those top three spots.
Yeah. Yeah, Boats.
What's funny is I'm going to double up Metzl here. I'm going 2% because I think...
Well, at least you got off a zero.
I'm off a zero. I've got 98% of my chips still on my board here. But same basically what you said. I think that he's going to be gone by the time the Jackets pick. I do think the top three ends up being Wright, Slavkovsky, Cooley. And then you get into the defensive spot and maybe the team's there, are looking at him and Juracek and go the other way and things kind of break down a little bit differently. So I'm going to come off of zero. But I still think Nemitz is gone in the top five. And so that's why I'm sticking with 2% on him.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10% on Nemitz as well. I think it's going to be hard to get to him if you're the Blue Jackets, because I don't think you can get to four or five. I think you could get to three easier than you could get to four or five just because of who's involved. And I don't think Nemitz is going to be – I think he's a Kraken or a Flyer by the end of the seventh. And I don't think he gets past that, but I do think that's a player that the Blue Jackets are super, super interested in. I mean, to have that on the right side of your defense, Werenski on the left side, that's – and the aforementioned Kuhlman's here in a couple of years. They could really be looking at something special in the back end, but I just think it's going to be hard to get to him. Here's a guy I wrote about today, different player than Nemitz. This is a – he's going to be a 30 or 40 point guy maybe in the NHL, but David Juracek is a big kid. This is an open ice hitter. This is a shutdown defenseman, big minutes guy. Really interesting player. I think it's your turn to go first with Svoboda, to go first with Juracek. Where do you have him percentage wise with the Blue Jackets?
All right, I'm going to really start getting into real numbers here. I'm going to go with 13% on Juracek. Wow. So now I've got 15% of my allotment here abused. Try to keep it around numbers that end in five or zero. But I do think that this is a guy, I said I wouldn't necessarily be beholden to drafting by position, but I do think if you're the Blue Jackets this year, you're probably going to focus on guys with size. And I think that Juracek fits that mold. I think he's, you know, is a right shot guy that you could play very high in the lineup, a bigger, more steady guy. They've got so many really skilled younger guys who are maybe more offensive guys, maybe not as big. I think he, a big right shot defenseman is a real thing that the Blue Jackets would like to have. Does he last to this point in the draft? I think that's a real question. It's, it seems when I kind of went through the rankings and did my composite poll, it seemed like the kind of consensus on the top five was Wright, Slafkovský, Cooley, Nemitz, and Juracek. And so I don't think he lasts to Columbus at six, but if he does, I think he fits very much what they're looking for. So it's so small because I just don't think he lasts to that point. But I do think if he's on the board, he's a heck of an attractive guy for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys that the longer this sort of goes, the more he's sort of sliding down the board. It's kind of happened to Wright as well. It's happened to Matthew Savoy for sure, where maybe a month ago, these guys were all seemingly projected higher than they are now. I think when people watch the Cup Finals, they see Makar, and that's the guy you're looking for, even though that's not the guy you're going to be able to find but once in a generation. Juracek is sort of an older school type defenseman, and I think some teams are reluctant to taking a player like that so early in the draft. But I also think he's a different breed than just a shutdown type defenseman, which you can, there are a lot more of those than offensive defensemen. I think there's a pretty good chance he's there actually for the Blue Jackets at six, because I think there's going to be a surprise in the top five. If that's Gauthier or Kemmel, who knows? I think there could be a name that gets pushed down. I'm just not sure they love him at six, but it could come to that. I'm giving him 15%. Possible that he gets there, but I'm not sure how enthralled they would be to take a player. I think they'd love to have Juracek, if this is making any sense. They'd love to have him, but at this point in the draft, a shutdown defenseman not seen as a sort of special slash difference maker in today's NHL, some people are opposed to drafting that kind of player that high. Metsy, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is one of my big numbers. I've got him at 25% only because of the uncertainty ahead of him and who's going to drop, which of those top four or five guys might drop. And I do think it's it goes back to your original question about forward D or best available. If he's available at six, I think they snag him for sure. Whether or not they make a deal to move up to, you know, four or five and grab him, I don't think they're going to do that. But I think if he is available with his upside and his size, you mentioned it, Jeff, he's 6'3", 190 now. You know, so add a couple of years, and now you got a 215-pound defenseman. Man, I think a guy like that is super attractive to the Blue Jackets where they are right now.
And I think one thing that really works in his favor in this draft is, and really just in general, is that he's a right-shot defenseman.
Yeah.
There's so few right-shot defensemen anymore. And if you look at the Blue Jackets organization, I mean, you've got Andrew Peak, Adam Boqvist, and then a whole lot of nothing as far as that goes. And so I know I said earlier you can't necessarily draft on need, but they're so scarce now finding a really good high-level right-shot defenseman that I think that makes him a very attractive player for not just the Jackets, but everybody. Same with Nemitz. Those two guys, it's such a positional scarcity that I think that works in both of those guys' favor, which is why I think they're both off the board by the time six comes around. But that's just my take.
And hey, just Jeff, imagine.
Nick Blankenberg on line one for you.
Yeah.
Is he? Okay, he is a right shot. My bad. Okay, so I redact that one comment. Let's add him in as well. For some reason in my head, he was a left shot.
Just imagine putting Juracek next to Werenski.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, stylistically, those two, it's the perfect. It's the perfect final minute and 10 seconds of a game, you would think. So now we get to the sixth player off our board. Gauthier is who we're discussing right now. Cutter Gauthier, which is just, it's a fantastic name. And I have yet to read how his parents came to naming him Cutter, but I bet it's a great story.
Hang on, I got it. His grandma took it out of a Swedish cookbook. True story. Whoa. Just read it.
He was born in Sweden.
He was born in Sweden because his dad played over there as a goaltender.
Right.
His grandma, they were trying to figure out a name, and his grandma was going through a Swedish cookbook. Cutter, there we go. Cutter's the name. That's where it came from.
I've never heard of looking through a cookbook for a kid's name, but
right?
Rock or on.
Just looking up some Swedish recipes and
Mud
Cutter.
I mean, it's a great name. It's a fantastic name. I think this is a guy that I don't want to say falls to the Blue Jackets, but my God, this is a big, big centerman. He's going off to college next year. Minnesota?
Boston College.
Boston College. Sorry. He's going to BC, and they want him to play center. This is a kid that probably projects to be 6'3", 6'4", when he's done growing. I don't know that he has the nasty streak that like a Ryan Getzlaf has, but when I think really big power forward centers, I think Backes, I think, guys like that that just are so hugely important to teams. And I also think about the affinity that Jarmo Kekalainen has for size. Never goes out of style, as they say. Everybody gets tired, but size doesn't shrink. I think Gauthier is a really interesting guy for them. And they, if the idea that they could stand pat at number six and draft Cutter Gauthier is pretty damn plausible to me, even in this year where I expect so much to go down. I'm giving Gauthier 30%, and I'm out of my percentages.
Well, Porty's going all in here, I guess you could say. And I am too. I'm going to be honest. You guys, you know, we were wondering where my chips were going to fall. I'm going 40% on Cutter Gauthier. I think you said a big centerman. Fits, you say those never go out of style. You can never have enough centers. You know, this guy's big. He's skilled. He's from a hockey family. He's from a great development program up in Ann Arbor with the U.S. team. I think he just checks off so many boxes that it makes a heck of a lot of sense to draft him at six. And so that's my big one. You've seen him to the Jackets in so many mock drafts. It just makes so much sense that I feel like that's where I'm going to put my biggest percentage and go 40%.
I got him at 30. I got him at 30 for a lot of those same reasons. I love the size. I love the numbers that he put up in Ann Arbor. I mean, pretty impressive. Second on his team there. Plus, I love the opportunity of a line that would have Cutter, Cole, and Boone. You know, it sounds like a law firm, right? Cutter, Cole, and Boone. Boone, Cole, and Cutter. Whatever you want. I mean, it would just be such a great line for first names alone. But mainly the size, the fact that he's versatile enough where he can play wing and learn the NHL game on the wing and then switch over to center. I mean, there's just a lot of upside to going that way.
So I guess what we're saying is Cutter Gauthier, Columbus Blue Jacket. You guys still have percentages to play with, do you not?
Oh yeah. I have a couple more, one more player in double digits.
Okay. So we'll keep going here because I'm out. I still have thoughts and Joaquin Kamel is next on the list. Metsy, let's start with you. I think I got us out of sequence there. Your thoughts on this young man? Finnish, played well in the Finnish top league as a young man, pretty impressive guy. Probably a winger. Where do you come in on Joaquin Kamel?
1%. Maybe 2. I might bump. It just depends about what happens up above him, right? But the one big factor he's got going for him is that he's from Finland. So you know darn well that, Jarmo's got him scouted well. He's ranked second among European skaters, so he's obviously got some skills. But I look at that size, and I'm like, man, that doesn't really thrill me for this Blue Jackets team. Desperately needing big forwards, at least a couple of them. You got a bunch of them under 6 foot and under 200 pounds. You got those by the dozens almost in the organization. And so I don't have him at a very high percentage right now.
And I'm going to go with 15 because I think, like I said, I don't think that I was so low on the top five guys because I just don't think they're available at six. So I think this is a guy that's available. So I have to probably give him a little bit more here. And I do also like, he tested very well at the combine on the explosiveness test. I think this is a guy that is pretty highly thought of. It feels like a top 10 pick. And so if he's available there, it's someone you have to look at. And so I think he's, say I don't have him as high as Gauthier, but I have him on the radar at 15%.
Yeah. We got another Finn coming here after this one. Marco Kasper is a big fella at center. Boy, centers don't usually last very long. He's almost certain to go in the top 10, but he's a guy that could surprise. Let me do Kamel real quick because I should weigh in on this. I've got them sticking with pretty much with the big board. I think Kamel's a guy that I don't think he gets to 12, but I don't think they step out of line to get him at six either. But Yarmo can surprise. And we know this too. The flip side of him being a Finn is Yarmo is not going to take him because he is a Finn. We have established that. That, you know, him passing on Puljujarvi is something that people in that country may never forget or forgive him for, though he was proven correct in that draft. I think he probably knows the young man as well as anybody, but I don't think he's going to step out of line to draft him either way. Marco Kasper is interesting because he's a centerman. Bodes, I think this is your shot to go first. What percentage do you have for Kasper ending up with the Blue Jackets?
I'm going to go with the sixth pick. I'm going to go with 10%. And again, I'm kind of focusing my points on percentages on guys I think will be available. So I think he will be available there. I just don't think he's just from reading about him, seems like a guy you'd love to have on your team, a very spirited two-way center who's going to be hard to play against. But I don't think the offensive skill set is there for him to be all the way up at six. I think if he's on the board at 12, they might run up there and take him, but at six, I don't see it happening. But I say again, since I do think he's on the board, I at least give him 10%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the fact that he's a centerman, and if they don't feel like Gauthier is, even though Boston College does, maybe that swings the Blue Jackets and to look for a, because they are more valued. The centermen are more valued always. Next on our list is Jonathan Lakarimaki. Now, Yarmo might make this pick just to screw with our headlines and listen to us try to pronounce Lakarimaki for the next 12 years. He's an interesting player. He's a guy that, you know, it's funny. I hope you guys understand where I'm coming from with this, but I've heard about eight players of which it's been said won't be there for the Blue Jackets at six, if you know what I'm saying. That's how wide open this draft seems to be. And he's one of those guys that has been thrown out there as a surprise, where he could really, really jump up and surprise how high he gets. And other people, there's lots of different opinions on this guy. But one of the best goal scorers in this draft, which is what it's all about. He's got good size. He's a right winger. He's playing in Sweden, in your garden. Your thoughts on Jonathan Lakarimaki?
I've got him at 15%, actually, because one of the younger guys in the draft, and you mentioned it, he's 35 points in 26 games. This guy, I think, has tremendous upside, has a real opportunity to grow into an even better player than we're seeing right now. All the stuff you read about him talks about how he's got the great hockey sense, the great hockey mind, all that kind of stuff that Torts used to really love, and I guess all GMs and coaches love now. But I look at him as a real dark horse to move up into that number six spot for Columbus.
Awesome. Bodes?
Yeah, I'm going to stick at 10% with him. Same I gave to Kasper. A guy that's, I think he's really been moving up the draft boards, as Porty kind of alluded to there. Had an incredible world U18 championship with Sweden, 15 points in six games. And so, I mean, this is an elite scorer. I think he's definitely in the mix there. And it would not surprise me to see him go very right in that six to 12 range. But since I'm running out of percentages here, I'm going to go with 10%.
Excellent. And last but not least is a centerman. At least we think he's a centerman. The dreaded could also play the wing comment comes in with Matthew Savoy. 5'9", 5'10". But this kid is talent, production, energy. I mean, I guess you're never quite sure how that size is going to translate to the NHL, but this is a guy that a lot of people have been really high on. Had a really good year with Winnipeg in the Western Hockey League. He's a guy that I thought the Blue Jackets would be lucky to get at six, and then as this process has moved along, he seems to have sort of, I don't want to say fallen out of favor, because he's still seen as a top 10, top 15 pick. It's an incredible accomplishment in its own right, but I don't think the Blue Jackets reach for him at six. I think they cross their fingers and hope he's there at 12. So I'm at 0% on Savoy as well. Bodes, I think it's your turn to go first here.
Yeah, I am at 10% because that's what I have left. Because I wanted to give everybody, you know, who is in that mix that is going to be, I think is going to be available at least 10%. But I think the size is kind of the turnoff for him. Kind of everything you just said, clearly a very talented player. My consensus poll of the draft rankings that I did on BlueJackets.com. He actually came out sixth, which means he's pretty highly thought of out there in circles as far as the scouting community goes and the analyst community. But it just, if it comes down to it and you're taking a center and the answer is, the question is Gauthier or Savoy, I think they take Gauthier. So I have Savoy at 10%.
Betsy?
I've got him at one, only because that size. And again, this is the second time in the last four players that I've talked about size, but he's a little guy and he scores a lot. But if you look at that Winnipeg Ice team, my God, they score a lot. I mean,
they do.
He had 90 points. Connor Geeky had 70 points. They've been a defenseman who had 65. I mean, that team scores a lot. So I don't know what that tells us about the Winnipeg Ice team or maybe that league in the Western Hockey League. I don't know what we can learn from that or glean from that. But again, I'm shying away from him. And I think the Jackets would not be as intrigued by him only because he's a little bit smaller. And like I said, we got a ton of those guys right now on the Blue Jackets roster.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've rattled through 10 guys now. I would love this year of all years, would love to see like 10 teams as big board when this draft is over. Of course, they won't show that to you because there's a great chance for embarrassment. But I think it could be as volatile this year as in any year, just because it's so – I don't think it's a bad draft at all. I think there's just a lot of differing opinions about a lot of the same players. Some people see two entirely different things. Let's now – the Blue Jackets also have the 12th pick. The last thing I wanted to get to is there one player sort of in this realm, maybe a player we've mentioned, but probably not a player we've mentioned, that could be available for the Blue Jackets with that 12 pick? If they take a forward at 6, maybe they go D at 12. They take a D at 6, maybe forward at 12. But like you said, if it's best available, they could double up on either position. Bodes, let's start with you. Is there a guy that could be there at 12 realistically that you think the Blue Jackets should or could bounce on?
It was hard for me to come up with one. I kind of have like multiple answers here if I'm allowed
sure.
to do so. I guess you're not going to stop me. You can just edit me out, but I'm just going to say what I'm going to say. like I say, in that ranking that I did a consensus poll, and this of course means nothing at the end of the day, but you know, Casper came in at 16th in that, which there's just some people that aren't sold on him as a top of the board pick. Yeah. And if he ends up sliding down to 12, again, I think you'd run up there to draft a guy like that just because of how good he is. But, you know, will he be available? I mean, there's probably a good chance that he's not at that point. I think a guy like, if you're talking about big centers, Connor Geeky, who I believe was, you know, there's so many guys here, I don't want to, you know, get confused. He was Savoy's teammate in Winnipeg. 6'3¼", 196, according to Central Scouting. Again, if you're looking for size up front, another guy that has to be interesting to you. I'm intrigued as like crazy by Brad Lambert, the Canadian born, but you know, Finnish now, or Finnish born, but the son of the former Canadian pro Ross Lambert and the nephew of Islanders coach Lane Lambert.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a really, he's really fallen over the last couple of years, but whenever I've seen him at the World Juniors, he's been a heck of an impressive player to me. So I'd have to consider him a 12. And then, you know, I have to throw a defenseman in there because if you go forward the first time around, maybe you do go defenseman this time around. And I think Denton Matichuk out of Moose Jaw, I have no idea if I'm saying his name right at all. But a guy that I think has some offensive ability on the blue line fits a lot of what the Blue Jackets look for in blue liners. So those are guys I think that kind of stand out to me among the field as you get down to 12. But this is really where you can get a lot of differences of opinion, I feel like.
Yeah. You just wanted to say Moose Jaw, but I know that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Metsy, where do you come in at 12? Who's your dream pick for the Blue Jackets at 12?
I have two. I don't have I don't have five like Jeff.
I really bent the rules there, didn't I?
If I'm going to go forward, I'm going to go with Connor Geeky. I mean, his numbers are great. He's kind of a modern day version of Boone Jenner, farm kid, grew up on a big farm out in the middle of nowhere in Saskatchewan, and obviously we know about his brother who was I think a third round pick by Carolina, not playing in Seattle, so. I like Connor Geeky there. Unbelievable numbers again for a team that must have scored a lot. And then I'm going to stay in Winnipeg. I like this Kevin Korchinski, who two-way defenseman, big defenseman for Winnipeg. 65 points last year, 4 goals, 61 assists. a good two-way guy who could be there, actually probably should be there. So those would be my two picks in that number 12 spot.
All right. I love Connor Geeky at 12. I love the size. The only thing that's hard for me to believe is that a 6'3" centerman with skill is going to make it to 12, because GMs covet big skill center. Like those things jump off the page. I think he's a guy that could go a lot higher than people anticipate. I'm not sure if he cracks the top six, but if he's there at 12, I think the Blue Jackets would be absolutely delighted. Another guy that is really interesting to me and is rising up, one of those guys that's been on a climb here for 6 weeks, is Leon Bichel, who a big, big defenseman. He's a left shot defenseman. I think he's 6'5", and he's a pretty good skater, but he plays a very physical brand and moves himself and the puck very well. That's a guy at 12, maybe seen by some people as a little bit of a reach, but that's a guy I think is someone to keep an eye on. And then if the guys that you mentioned, if they fall, I think it gets really interesting. Frank Nizar, Brad Lambert, those guys. Interesting. That 12 pick is really interesting to me. What do you guys think is the likelihood? Last question here. As wild as this weekend feels like it could be, with so many teams wanting to do something, and I know we hear that every year, but it feels more real this year with all of the cap implications, and with so many teams seemingly up and over the crest of their sort of windows to win. Well, the likelihood that they keep 6-12. Do you think the Blue Jackets keep 6-12, or do you think Yarmo's walking to the podium twice, or Ville Sirin is twice in the first round, or do you think they're going to be active?
I think they keep them unless they get an opportunity to move top two. But I think this is still a team that's trying to collect talented assets. And when you have two opportunities to pick two more good players, as we saw last year, I mean, this is a real asset collecting time for them, and players who could contribute, maybe not this year, but certainly next year and the year after that. I think you're looking at a team that's on the come, that's on the cusp of being again another perennial playoff team, if they develop all of these young players the right way. It's a really unique opportunity for them to continue to fill the cupboards.
Yeah, I mean, I think my answer to that's been spoiled by my answers to the percentages, because I do think they stay at 6-12. Certainly, you can get bowled over at a point that you say, "Oh my goodness, we'd be stupid not to take this trade." I also think that, you know, as a draft unfolds and maybe a guy you really like goes down a spot or two, you could say, you can really convince yourself, like, man, you know, maybe it's worth making a move like that. So you can never say never, but as Dave just kind of said, for a team that's trying to build out a long-term successful future, you having five first round picks in a 2-year span is a great way to really set yourself up for future success. And so you have the flexibility there. Having two of the top 12 picks in the draft does allow you to maybe trade one or even trade two just to get one back. So the flexibility is there. But my gut feeling, and it's nothing other than a gut feeling, because, you know, Jarmo Kekalainen is never going to tip his hat here. But my gut feeling is the plan is to just keep adding players, keep adding young talent, and that's going to be blooming, you know, down the road here and try to make this a long term consistent winner.
Yeah, I think they're in asset collection standpoint already, and should remain there. I think the work that they want to do to today's roster, I think 6 or 12 is too high a price to pay to fix those things. You're still in the talent acquisition mode and moving forward with young players on the roster. So let this breathe. This is the challenging part of the reset, though. If you're Yarmo, where you're probably going to be too good this coming year to be picking in the top 10. Certainly you hope you will. So you got to hit these guys, but I think the draft picks should be treated as absolute gold, because that's your path out of all this. Anything else to add, boys?
Can't wait to see how it plays out. I mean, it's going to be a really fun night to watch those first really 10 or 15 picks. It's really going to be fun.
It'll be wild. It'll be wild. Bodes, thanks for joining us. Metzi, thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it, guys. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week from Montreal. I think we're going to do a group chat. Look for Twitter for more instruction on that. Just sort of a big conversation with all of you out there with what you're thinking heading into the draft. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening. As always, thanks to Danielle Lehman, our producer, and we will talk to you all very, very soon. Take care.